Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
passengers, and gaiety mounted as the floating palace neared her European port. Having crossed from New York to Bishop's Rock off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I'm Dr. George Anderson and this is ADVIA. We are here today and it is Monday, the 30th of November, the last day of November 2015. And Merry Christmas to everybody out there. The end result of it is that we are here this afternoon and we have whatever's coming up on the show. The Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347-884-8078, 347-804-8078. Please check out the Conservancy for the SS United States. We are not going to see the ship go to scrap just yet, but we still have to give our support and keep up the good work of trying to get this to Brooklyn. We're almost there. So just a little bit more, folks, and we will make the goal. The goal is $1 million. We're at $660,000 from the last reading of the minutes of the Conservancy notes. So that is the good news that we have. I'm also very happy to say thank you for your support on Facebook. We wouldn't be at 30,300 and something. I haven't looked at the moment, but we're growing by leaps and bounds, and it is really good. I am really hopeful that we can get some support on this Giving Tuesday, because we do need your support, folks. This broadcast is brought to you because of the supplications of the folks who forego without doing without so that others may have. And in order to do that, it needs to be something that we all do as a community. This is a community effort here, and we need your support. So please do consider giving to America's Disabled Veterans in Action, also known as ADVIA.media. Well, I'm joined this afternoon by Marilyn Weiss. Are you with us, Marilyn? How are you, my dear?
I'm with you. How are you?
I'm tired, sweetie. I'm tired. I am exhausted. I am tired of veterans being mistreated and I'm tired of veterans getting the short end of the stick, and I'm really, really at the point that I'm fed up. And
well, welcome
it gets
to the party.
Yeah, it gets to the point that it gets old, you know, and it's day in, day out. Now, I'm not one to give up, but I'm just tired of seeing this constantly, over and over and over again. No, it's no need.
That's
it
true.
No need. No need whatsoever. We should be able to do a lot better than what we're doing by our veterans. You know, we got to beg. We got to plead. You know, we get 1 month. 1 month, one day out of the year, and on that day, you got to run and choose between 50 gazillion restaurants which one you want to eat at, because they all have to be utilized in one day. You know, I'm tired.
Well, you know, some places, I know Denny's right here, right down the street from where I live at, Mondays is veterans get discounts there on Mondays. Every Monday you get a discount. A veteran. Might have to show you a hospital card or something that you're a veteran, but other they give 10%. I believe it is 10%. I'm not sure. But I haven't used it yet because I can't never go in there on a Monday. But Monday is veterans. When the veterans get their discount, I know about that location.
Wow.
A lot of times, if you ask, you may get it too. You might get a discount too. Some places they don't advertise our discounts, but like if you go and ask where, you know, is there a military or veterans discount, they may or may not honor. I know a lot of them, they're honoring the active duty soldiers, and a lot of them honor both veterans and active duty. But in any various businesses. Have that.
Well, it's that's good. I know that also Hooters on Tuesday, they have military appreciation. You know, on Tuesday for any Hooters. Yeah, for
veterans. Okay.
It does include veterans.
Okay, because a lot of them have military discounts. Does not include
as long as you have your military ID.
Okay, because a lot of places they just do active duty, which I think is appalling and disgusting. But disrespect to the veterans if you're just doing active duty, because active duty soldiers are not veterans. Until they've completed
it. It's completely different animals.
That's it.
You
veterans
know, although veterans includes, veterans should include our active duty, but it doesn't always translate that way.
Yeah. So, follow the.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you're a veteran and you go to your VA medical center or clinic, and the nurse or the doctor or whatever mistreats you, and you don't have, because like our VA patient advocate has no jurisdiction in any issues with the veteran and a physician. There's nothing they can do when it's between a veteran and a physician. They have out of their jurisdiction. So now what I suggest is if you want to get them, write them up to the medical licensure board in your jurisdiction. That's better than the VA doing anything to them. Because VA not going to do anything. You know, these doctors, especially these clinicians, these doctors and whatever you call them, PAs and all them, they can so much as kill a veteran and not be held accountable for it. according to the people that was at the concern, fixed the veterans' health care last year. Remember that, Dr. George?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
I thought I was hearing things when I saw it, when I heard that. And so I spoke with the D.C. Medical Licensure Board. She said that is, well, that is ridiculous. I told her, yeah, we were told that. And I said, and based on this incident, it got to be true. There was, this doctor's still working there today as if she did nothing. So.
It just, it, you know, and we keep having to deal with these indignities.
It's ridiculous. So,
you know, over and over again, all these indignities, you know, it's like you can't go to the hospital and be treated well. You can't get seen. Things are backing up and backing up on us and making us to the point that we're struggling to just keep up.
Right.
It is something, you know, and this is why we have to keep our eyes and ears open as to everything that's going on. Now, over the weekend, it came out that one of the current senators in the Senate said that the veterans' benefits were something that we could not, no, a luxury we could no longer afford to have. And by him saying this, this is someone that should more be of an advocate. But we are working against people who are pouring kerosene onto the fire and telling us, oh, the house is on fire and, you know, we can't afford this anymore. And when I'm telling you they're pouring kerosene on it, because this is someone that is supporting every new expenditure that comes out for the latest piece of equipment. We are spending 60% of our production on defense, and we do not pay the men and women enough to be even to begin to live. So I don't understand. You can send them into war, but you can't pay them. I got a problem with that. Got a big problem with that. You know, and it hurts even more when it's done to us by a veteran.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're dealing with Mr. Sessions, who's an Army veteran. That's who did this. And in the process of doing something like this, we've got these poor fools out here that are veterans that actually think that they're telling veterans to do something good to vote Republican. And if you think that the Republicans are going to do any better than the Democrats, I got news for you, because they're two wings on the same bird. So whether it's Democrat or Republican, there are no permanent friends and no permanent enemies in Congress. We must try to work with each other to get our cause across, because we have people. The devil's in the details. We have people that are in there, that are there. They got theirs. I guarantee you, when Senator Sessions is done, he'll come away with a pension. He'll come away with a pension, and it'll be more than what we get at 100%.
Yep.
The average rate of pay next year, people, per day for Congress, is $1,581.82. That's the average per diem for the rate of pay for Congress. They're only going to work 110 days. But they're going to get full pay.
Wow.
This is why we have to do a lot better than what we're doing. This is why we have to keep talking to each other, educating each other, taking time to make sure See, because it's not just about Senator Sessions. Yes, some veterans do well. They come out and they manage to get all the connections. But I know a lot more that come out that have problems because of PTSD, MST, fibromyalgia, Agent Orange, depleted uranium. What else? What's that other? They got another syndrome that came from Iraq from the first Gulf War. Gulf War syndrome, you know. So it's always something. And they know what they're doing to us. They know what they're doing to us.
Wow.
You know, I sit here, and right now, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm sitting here right now looking at a utility bill for which I'm supposed to pay hundreds of dollars because I use a piece of medical equipment. They want me to agree to slavery to go ahead and pay this utility bill. Now, the thing about it is, folks, I'm going to say this on air. I don't normally go there, but I'm going to say it today. There is no money. And if those of you don't understand what I'm railing about, we're talking about the fact of the matter. You talk about the fact, give me the Benjamins, baby. Those Benjamins are debt notes. They are IOUs. But
wow.
The thing about it is, child, don't start with me. I will get that judge's letter out. I found an Alaska judge. Maybe I will do that. But no, I won't. Just yet, because, you know, his judge had a lot to say. But the thing about it is, I may post that on our page, though. The thing about it is that we are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the United States government. And the reason why I'm saying to you that is because there is no money. When you are born, you're given a birth certificate, and you're born into commerce because you came down a birth canal after water broke. And that birth canal put you in commerce.
Oh, okay.
Your mother went to her birth. Where do you find a birth but at a dock? The berth is what a ship sits in when it arrives in port and weighs anchor. Now, when you birth and you discharge at the dock, then you are given a bill of inventory for the items received. So, therefore, you are put into a birth certificate and given a warehouse receipt that is negotiable. So, we're not taught this stuff. We're not taught that when you get the birth certificate, you have the child. Your child is your child. That is until you hit the child, and the child is taken away by the state. And you wonder, well, why are they taking my child? I'm simply trying to raise my child. Well, if you haven't claimed your birth certificate, you're looked at as incompetent because if you go to court, you need a lawyer. And a lawyer means that you are a client. And a client is someone that is incapable of doing for themselves. They lack the skill and understanding. We don't know this, that by 5 years old that somebody, we only know custody of a child through a divorce. That's how we know custody of a child. But did you know that you're supposed to take that child once you have that child, before the child is 5 years old, claim that child's birth certificate and let the state know that the child is alive and not dead? By the time you're 18 years old, by 3 days after, if you don't do the process of certifying your birth certificate, you're presumed dead. And they begin to do a process on you, parens aurei. And what that means is that they act as though you're your parent because they know what's best for you because you obviously don't because you have not authenticated your birth certificate. You have not reached age of majority. and your age of majority is not the age of 18. It is the age of when you are 18 and you have certified your birth certificate and are in possession of it and registered it with the county clerk. I don't like getting into this and making it sound like a conspiracy theory, but the fact of the matter is that there is no money. And the fact of the matter is that as we're talking about there is no money, we are doing everything in our possible to make sure that, you know, veterans are aware of the fact that on June 5th, 1933, that the United States went bankrupt. And they took away all the silver and gold currency in the United States and abrogated it, meaning that it said that it made it inconsistent with public policy to require a specific species of currency, including Federal Reserve notes, coins, currency, banknotes, different commercial paper, all of it was abrogated because Constitution Article 1, Section 10 was abrogated, meaning that it was struck, taken out of circulation because Congress couldn't maintain the equal value of money. So they went bankrupt. And we've been in a state of perpetual bankruptcy ever since. But we don't think about this. We don't like to talk about it. And when we do talk about it, they're going to tell you that's a conspiracy theory. Okay, well, if it's such a conspiracy theory, what if it was an actual plan, not just a conspiracy theory, but something that was a real reality? Because I tell you something, people, a lot of people don't understand that the United States of America was with a little U, a small U, United States, capitalized state of America, because of that subtle change in the Constitution where everything is all caps. We're under a corporation that comes out of D.C. Not the original Constitution, but a corporation that comes out of D.C. So this is what we're dealing with, folks. This is life in America in 2016, and you wonder why and where this came from. Well, now you know. Y'all believe me. Just check it out. No, I'm telling them. They don't have to believe me. Check it out themselves. Check it out. Look at public law. Don't believe Dr. Anderson. You don't have to believe me. Marilyn knows because we've been dealing with it behind the scenes for a little bit. But see, shoot, this stuff, they're running veterans into the ground at 22 a day. And we're wondering why. Because there's not enough to go around. Huh?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, because a lot of us veterans, we go through a lot. I mean, like, we are struggling for a lot of us benefits to be treated fairly. And things of that nature, not to top the underlying issues that are going on. And I just think that when you're in the point where you need help or you get to a crisis where you have to go and go inpatient, here's the thing that kills me, to maintain your safety from yourself and others. But then the VA puts you in an unsafe environment. For you. But then that's okay. You know, the fact that you're a female veteran, the fact that I'm a female veteran, suffer with military sexual trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder, not to include domestic violence. And I'm uncomfortable being on the inpatient cycle. So you'll take me out of sight. They took me out of a safe room and put me in a hostile environment. And you think I'm going to go there the next time I get into a crisis. No. No, I'm not. You know, I can't get in certain programs because of my service-connected disability major depression. Because I be in crisis too much. When I come unstable, I was in the telehealth program because of my diabetes and high blood pressure. And I got kicked out of the program. I cannot go back into the program because I have too many hospitalizations for my service-connected disability, depression. No. And now I look at PTSD. PTSD ain't nothing but the devil. I mean, I'm not talking about for symptom-wise. PTSD will get you not able to receive treatment that you so desperately need because of your symptoms of PTSD. PTSD will get your ass whipped, excuse me, on the radio. PTSD will get you jacked up. It is not safe to have PTSD and tell somebody. From my experiences, I got PTSD. I'm the one getting punished. So, you know, we look at all these things. And the first thing, and that, because I say it now because holiday season is coming up, Dr. George. And I really believe that 22 a day has greatly increased. It just hasn't been documented yet. I think that 22 deaths a day is no longer a true statement. I really believe it has increased. It just hasn't been documented. Yeah.
I believe it because it has increased.
Yeah, I believe it.
It has increased. It's out of control. You know, and when you tell people about it, they look at you like, well, you know, and they wonder if you're going to be next.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, healthcare has really gone to the dogs. I mean, past the dogs. Even on the civilian side, I don't see too much difference between VA healthcare and the civilian. And to me, there's no difference. Because my sister had to have to get a procedure, but she can't get it done in February. So it's no, the civilian side is different as far as getting the, I found that out myself. You know, you go to a civilian doctor, you still got to wait 2 and 3 months for a daggone appointment.
Yeah, you know, this is the whole thing. They're talking about the wait, but it's no different from what's going on in the real world.
I knew how to do it. I would start a protest just on health care. Like them people protesting for all these police shootings, all these young black men, veterans, we need to get together and start our protests just like that. Those people have made changes in the way police officers are now being dealt with when they come to handling citizens. It ain't just the black people that's getting their ass tore up. Some of the white people, Hispanic people, I know the Hispanics are, but the white people too. It's just not brought out to the forefront like with us.
Exactly. Well, I mean, we're getting our asses handed to us. It's not just us. It's our families and everybody else. You know?
Yeah.
Joyce, are you with us? Are you with us, Joyce?
Yes.
Good evening.
Hi. Good evening. How you doing?
All right.
Good evening, Malin. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. It's, every day is a struggle. Like,
Welcome to the real world, honey.
Yeah.
It's one thing or another. We're all going through it.
I think it's unfair to walk around here walking. The doctors tell you got pneumonia and can't do anything about it.
That's a damn shame.
Because it's not serious. Not serious enough for them to take the practice. I've been battling these symptoms of pneumonia since February. So.
Wow.
Well, you're gonna have to take that upon yourself and do it on your own. If they're not interested in you, you're gonna have to do it on your own.
I don't have a doctor's license. I was just telling Dr. George the civilian sector is no better than VA.
Yeah, but you're waiting on them and they're not doing anything for you. So go to somebody that will at least take care of you.
Yeah. You tell me where to go and I'll draw my hand.
Oh, Jesus.
Because, I mean, there's nowhere to go. Because, I mean, the civilian side is just as bad.
They're waiting 3 and 4 months for doctor's appointments, too.
And so then Washington is worse than California.
I don't know. Yeah, well, here in D.C., there's civilian people. My sister has to wait to February or January to see somebody about a female issue that needs to be dealt with, like now. But the civilian sector, maybe it depends on the insurance you're getting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's nowhere in the devil. I'm going to pay Blue Cross and Blue Shield and got to wait 4 and 5 weeks for an appointment. Oh, no.
Well, I don't know anymore. Too much. I can't even function anymore.
Yeah.
I really just can't function.
So.
But,
And also, I mean, I know this ain't my night, but if veterans, if you're getting 100%, if you had 100%, and then you got, because a lot of 100%s are combined now. So if you combine 100%, put in increases for what you're getting, the combined rate for each individual disability, put an increase in. When you get to 100%, then you go for the separate ones.
Money for depression then. Too, because that shit is like ongoing and chronic. It's been worse, and it gets worse. But, you know, we all have. I put up something on the page last week. It was a shadow of a man. And he gets up, he goes to the closet, and in the closet where his clothes would be, there was a shell that he would put on, and he'd run out in the world and look like other shells, and then he'd come home, and at the end of the comic, he's coming out of the shell again, going back into the depression. And I think that's what happens to a lot of us. We may look okay, that everything's okay, but we're not.
But if you don't tell it, you still look okay. You can wear your shell, you can come out, but if you give it to yourself, I'm not getting the help that I need. I'm not being helped for my issues, but I still make noise. I may not get the physical help, like with my asthma and stuff like that, but I'm still getting money for it because I complain. So, I mean, it's okay to like when you having depression and you staying up in your house. I mean, if you're not talking to no one about it, if you have a claim, what I'm trying to say is if you have a claim in and you're not showing that you're depressed, even though you know you are now, but I keep my depression to myself. You know, I go into isolation, which is part of being depressed. So sometimes you got to let somebody know you're there. That's when you got starting to get benefits. You got to come out and tell it and then go back in your shell in your house. Because if they don't know that it's a continuous problem, you're going to be continuously going through, you know, fighting and fighting. You may still have to fight even though you tell them. But like I said, I still fight for mine, with my other issues. And then I was sitting here last night trying to get my rebuttal together for these nutballs. And I went through my my physical, my, what do they call it, my exit physical. And I saw where I was denied, where I was diagnosed with gastrointestinal reflux disease back in 85. And I have sinus and all. I'm allergic to dust. I've written in my record. But see, and it's in there, but I'm being, chronic cough. That's what's in there. Chronic coughing. And then I'm still having, and I'm being treated for that now. Well, they know about it. It's documented. You know, with constant recurrent coughing. You think I'm not going to put a claim in for it? I sure is. Because, that's been a long time ago, and I didn't realize it. And you would think as much as I know about claims, I would be on top of that. But sometimes, excuse me, when you're helping others, you forget about yourself.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm helping everybody else. And forget about sitting there and going through mine, but they told me I have to file a unremarkable error claim to get my retroactive pay. And do you think I'm not going to do it? I done tore my house up looking for some of this stuff. I have a packet where I had sent all my denial letters. And I also have when I was reading through the stuff where they denied me because they say that I didn't receive treatment from 19. They don't have a record of me corresponding with them from 1994 to 98. Well, I got a denial notice from 92, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. What had happened, because I'm reservist, I didn't serve 2 consecutive years of active duty. So they physically discharged me from the psych ward and told me I couldn't come there for care no more. So it took me 4 years to get reinstated back into the healthcare system.
What?
Yeah.
Good.
But they were giving me denial notice ever since. And they kept saying that my stuff wasn't related, even though I had the big old diagnosis for post-traumatic stress right up there. But when you don't know really how to do the claims, about when you file a claim, to be specific in what you're asking for. If you file a claim for PTSD and you got depression and anxiety, you file a claim for all three.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that. So that's why I'm so strict now, to make sure whatever they tell me it is, I'm writing it down. If I go into your medical records and I see something in your medical records, I'm going to write it down and ask you start having problems with it. But, and then you really could have, like me, I've been having the chronic cough forever. Amen. So now I found the document. So, yes, I'm going back and file a claim. Doesn't matter because I'm at 100%. That's a new disability. And they diagnosed me with GERD, but the VA record says it wasn't in my medical records. That's why I say to people, if you can get your medical records, get them. And if those of you can't, you might want to try to get a Nexus letter or something. But never, never, never tell the VA that it did not occur in the service. I don't care if it didn't. Because then you go back and look at a veteran came in, he was telling me, well, it didn't occur in the service. I said, I hope you didn't tell the VA that. And I go in his medical records and there it is. But you going to tell me it didn't happen in the service. Your military record says something different.
Yeah. They forget. People forget, and they don't realize they will forget. Things happen in your life, and you forget.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's why That's why I don't. Yep, I'm not, I think it did. I think it did occur in the service. And leave it at that. I think it did. Now, if you leave a reasonable doubt on their side, but you think it occurred. Yeah. And so you may not remember, because like you said, you can forget a lot of crap. But if there's a doubt, well, it better be doubt in your mind, and you couldn't say, I think it occurred in the service, and then let them prove that it didn't. Because you may look into your records and say, oh, snap, there it is right there. You know, you get, like arthritis, I don't think I got that in the service. And then I go through your record, and you got an ankle sprain and a knee sprain back in 1985. Well, good Lord. That's where your arthritis came from. Because once you injure an ankle or a bone part area, later on in the years is when you start getting the arthritis. And then when you wading in the water in Vietnam, later on in the years, you're going to develop arthritis. My mother and them used to tell me, don't play in that water with no shoes on, because later on, arthritis is going to set in. And I never knew what they mean. I know now. But
I used to hear the old folks say the Ritus brothers would get you.
Yeah. I was another
the
one.
The Ritus brothers. Oh, bursitis and arthritis.
Arthritis. Them the same two jokers. Yep. The Ritus brothers. So, just remember, you know, never tell them it didn't. Never tell them it didn't happen in the service. Yeah, I think it did. I think it did. Because we were running PT, and I sprained my ankle real bad. But shoot, you go to the thing, you better not care your butt to sick off. People don't understand the trauma, not being told not to go to sick off. I ain't had no choice. I ain't want to go, because I ain't want to be a recycle. And that's another reason we don't go to Sitco, because we don't want to be recycled. I was a recycler. AIT is not fun. But I'll take AIT over basic in the day of the week.
Hey, further up the food chain.
Hello. What? But I really think we as veterans need to form a large protest. And I'd like to see it done state to state simultaneously. I think I'm going to make that a project. Because if we don't start protesting like these people are protesting about this police brutality, we'll probably never see any changes. Because changes come in numbers. But they also can come in. Change can also come with one person. I'm learning that one, too. Because now, George, did you hear what I said earlier about reporting your doctor, the medical staff, to the medical licensure board in the state instead of going to the patient advocate?
No.
Yeah.
I know you were telling me that the other day.
If you go to the VA, let's say you go to the ER and you refuse a procedure, or they're very mean and disrespectful and belittling you, and the most common one that they do at our VA is disrespect your right to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Write them up to the licensure board of that jurisdiction. You ain't even got to go to patient. You ain't even got to, it's a waste of your time to go to the patient advocate. It's a waste of your time to go to the hospital administrator, any of them people in the VA, because they work together.
Yeah.
And I called the DC licensure board today because I'm getting ready to report Dr. Newt Neptune now. She's the chief for the inpatient unit at the Washington, D.C. VA. She took me out of a safe environment and put me in a very, very hostile environment. Never mind the fact that I got PTSD and military sexual trauma and domestic violence. That has nothing to do with nothing. She makes the decision whether you're safe or not. So I think I need to send a letter on her behalf for her. Because this is how this is going to stop. Veterans, this is how you're going to stop the abuse to us by the medical staff there, especially those with current licensures. And if you got a licensure social worker, you can send her to the write her ass up to, excuse my mouth, you can write her up to the licensure board too. If we have to start putting this stuff in writing, because VA says that they can't take no action, even if a doctor kill a veteran, they're not taking any action. But after what I went through, that's the truth. I believe it. But we went to that, me and Dr. George went to that healthcare summit. Remember that, Dr. George?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I remember that man's name, because God knows. But they
you can call and find out. You can call and get his name.
But I don't
you
know.
You can call and get his name.
The one that said that the doctors can kill us and they won't be held accountable? Really, is that the one I asked for?
Is he a worker?
No.
He was one of the presenters at the national conference this summer.
Oh, you know what? I understand. I'm gonna see if we need to see if we can get a copy of it because it's on tape. It's
oh
on
yeah,
there.
On
it's,
the DEB YouTube. Most
it's
likely.
On concerned veteran.
The DEB YouTube site.
I don't know if it's on that, but I know it's on the Concerned Veterans of America because they were the ones that sponsored the seminar, and they were saying
that. Oh, okay, there. Yeah, because they do it. They're operating a little differently.
They said that we can go back and review the whole thing on their website or YouTube or somewhere.
Right. It's on YouTube, Concerned Veterans of America.
So I'm going to go and look it up, and I'm going to find it.
That was last February, February
2015. Yeah, I got it on my, I think it's on my badge. I don't know if the date is on there, but I know it should be on the Fix the Healthcare Summit, Veterans Healthcare Summit. When that man said that, I wanted to go snap to him in his collar because I knew better than that. And the licensure board lady said, that doesn't even sound right. I said, it didn't sound right to me when he stood set up there and said it. But based on my experiences of receiving treatment at the VA, he's not lying. These doctors, they can punch us in the face, and they're not going to take no action against these people. Because I told the lady, spit in my face, now I got to send her the ticket, $265 ticket I got. It's $275 ticket. You know that, Dr. George?
$275.
Yes. I thought it was $265. I almost got a $300 ticket. And I won't even out of control this time and got the ticket.
She was out of control.
Yes. Oh, that old heifer was way out of control. Yes. Yeah, she screamed at me and told me to get out. And I calmly sat there and said, I'm not going nowhere. I'm waiting on Dr. I put all that in my complaint to the licensure board. I know they're going to get her. And one thing I like about it is I won't know of any action being taken, but it will follow her career as long as she remains a doctor in the United States. That complaint is going to trail her. I'm happy with that because some justice is better than none.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because mine could be the first complaint or the last complaint to make them snatch her license. And see, when they snatch the doctor's license, it comes out in the magazine that Dr. Manfredi's license is suspended. And it tells what? Yeah, because I have, I'm an LPN, so if a nurse's license is suspended, it's posted in the nursing magazine.
Wow.
But Yep. And if a complaint is filed against me, it follows my, it stays in my record. They don't, whether they found whatever, whether it was found probably non-sufficient or whatever, it's still stays in your claim, in your licensure jacket. Because, yeah, it stays in there. You, once somebody make a complaint against you like that, it follows you through your career. And they get enough of them, they're going to snatch it. They're going to suspend your license. I told the lady, I was so happy to find out about her because that way I wouldn't have to take it to the streets. And you spit in my face, really. Hollering and spitting in my face like a drill sergeant, really. My mind went right back to basic training.
Let's see. Take you through flashbacks.
Unnecessary stress and trauma. So I gotta get. I'm gonna get. That probably be a big. I stayed up all night last night. But I'm gonna have my letter written for you. Excuse me, before this week is all you can guarantee. And I advise all veterans, this is how you got to start doing it. Put it on, don't go to your patient advocate because that's a joke. They stealing money from the government anyway by having a job. And they claim they ain't got, V claim they ain't got no money. And they giving away money to them nutballs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's money they could be. That's the money they give to the patient advocate could be put in the pocket to treat patients for hepatitis C since they ain't got no damn money. Them people don't need them jobs. They don't know what to do with it. But
you know.
Yeah. Them folks need that money like need for me to a hole in their head. So my safety, and when, like I said, when I write it up, I'm going to indicate that I don't feel that my safety is of any concern. So I thought my safety come first. Then y'all agree?
I agree.
You put me, if I come in and I'm telling you I'm going to harm myself, you're going to forcibly admit me to keep me safe, but then you're going to throw me in an unsafe environment. How does that work?
Make you get well enough to come on up out of there.
That don't make you being well. If you don't feel safe, why make the situation worse? I mean, that's just like throwing me in a bucket of crabs. And I'm scared to death of crabs. So that's just like, why them putting me on 3DEs? The psych unit, like throwing me in a bushel of live crabs.
That wasn't good.
Huh?
You could have hurt yourself.
No, I'm saying no. I was using it as an example of the severity of how traumatizing it is.
Put you in a negative situation.
That too, but I mean, just the thought of going. Being thrown in with a bucket of live crabs or a bucket of, or in a snake pit. It's easy to do, commit suicide because you throw me in a bucket of snakes, I'm dead anyway. And now I understand they got to have to shut the whole unit down and remodel it because I slept on the floor last month. I don't know how when they're gonna shut it down, but that's in the conversation. Then the chief of psychiatry, Dr. Perkins, who's been helpful to me though, but he can't guarantee my safety either. He can't make sure that I'm safe. Well, so what am I supposed to do, y'all?
Well, I know what we must continue to do, and that is we have to continue to complain, and we have to continue to not give up, because if we give up, we stop the fight where we are, and it makes it harder because the person that may be enduring the same thing may think that they are alone, because that's often what causes us to give up. I remain convinced of it. You know, I wish I could say that it was something different, but it's the same thing over and over and over again. We are having this discussion with the men and women who are having a hard time with survival.
Survival where? At the VA or just
surviving life? Just surviving life. It's a day-to-day struggle.
But that's my point. And you're correct, but my thing is when that survival becomes so tough that you want to take your life, and you say, oh, well, let me go get help before I do that. And you still survive and just stay safe. Men still in the bathroom. When I stayed up there 2 weeks ago, I went to the bathroom. The door still wasn't locked. Who in the bathroom? A man.
Wow.
I told him, oh, wait a minute. And then they filmed me changing clothes.
Well, that's got to make you feel safe and secure.
When I went up to the devil, I had to be 100 people up there. I tried to rip the damn camera off the wall the night before. But I said, no, well, maybe it's not working. It's just up there. And damn, it wasn't working. That's the second time I'd have been filmed in the patient room on that damn unit.
Wow.
I mean, I had my back turned because I don't know. You know how you get paranoid? I got paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, let me just walk up here and see. After I got discharged, I said, let me walk up here and see. And you know I set it off then. Oh, I said, that was the time to get a behavior flag. See, when I'm out of control and threatening manner, I don't get in no trouble. But when I'm calm and I'm not acting the fool, that's when I got bust with that ticket. Oh, but she gonna pay for that. She was working Friday, and I told her in the VA, Dr. Seaton, who's chief, said there's nothing they can do to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to take action. Well, if I'd have punched you in the face, I'd been in D.C. jail, though. That wouldn't have been hard for you to take action. So.
Yeah.
It is a very sad situation, because it shouldn't be like this, and we know it shouldn't be like this, you know, and yet this is what we get from the people that are supposed to be there to support us.
Yeah, and then, my doctor, my new doctor, says she don't even have admitting privileges. Because I told y'all need to put me in the hospital, give me IV, antibiotics, and stop nickel and diming me with these little pills that ain't working. And then, then the medication they give me is on the list of my allergies. So, is related to some of the medicine that's in my allergy list. I mean, the negligence that go on up there is just utterly, utterly ridiculous. And when I send this complaint in, I'm gonna send a complaint about the doctors up there discussing the patients, why the patient is in the ER, and loud for everybody here. That is just, I mean, like I said, no one forces the VA to do patient confidentiality. That HEPA law crap do not exist at our VA. I can sit in there and tell you what, huh?
That's bad.
Does not exist at our VA. There is no such thing as HEPA laws at our VA. No such animal. I don't even know why they even bring that up.
We have to keep up the focus, Marilyn. We have to keep up the focus on the men and women in Congress and bring pressure to bear on them.
Well, that's your department. And we have to call that gentleman, what's his face, Mr. Martin,
Let him know exactly what happened. It's very important.
It is just utterly, utterly ridiculous. And this is the nation's capital, really. Speaking of the nation's capital, did y'all see where the gentleman jumped over the fence Thanksgiving Day?
Oh, yeah. Saw that one.
So,
and he was home, too.
And that lets me know they are not prepared for ISIS. Because if that man can do it, you already know ISIS can do it.
Yep.
He's going to be over the fence having dinner with Obama. ISIS is going to be over the fence having dinner with Obama before them nutballs catch him. Isn't that ridiculous? I could not believe it. And they locking down the airports and locking down this and locking that and locking down that. But you ain't even got the president's house locked down.
That's the point. They didn't want to lock down.
No, they don't. They want them to get in there and get Obama.
That's right.
I'm tending to believe that now after I see this crap here. I'm tending to believe it more and more. They keep showing us that. There's no way that man was supposed to get up in that, get over that darn fence.
It wasn't supposed to be that way, but that's how it is.
Yeah, well.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, it's just, you know, they do what they want to do. For whom they want to do it. It just doesn't really please that.
There you go. Because if I make my comments, somebody going to be knocking at my door. So if I say what I really want to say, somebody going to be knocking at my door.
You know, that's the whole thing. They do come out.
They may not even knock at my door. They might bring themselves. It's just really, I mean, you know, you look at how the, you know, well, and, yep, and they come right on in on my man. And they were home, too. Did y'all know that?
Huh?
The Obamas
they were
home.
Oh, yeah,
they were home
They don't care.
I know it. Yep. You know, you ain't protecting our president.
Yeah, you got that right.
So, yeah, I'd be looking, I'd be like, we ain't got our priorities in order in the United States.
A long time ago, we lost it.
I don't have the priorities. Yeah. Yep. I'm like, wow.
Oh, wow. Well, we are going to have to call it a day, folks. We have come to you today. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Hopefully, we are hoping that we'll hear from Stephanie and see what's going on up there. But in the meantime, our prayers are with her. And we will definitely be back at our same regular time tomorrow, 4 o'clock p.m., 2400 Zulu. And like I said, folks, we are always here. You can reach us through the Facebook page, through Twitter, Instagram. But most of all, we need your support. Marilyn, any closing statements before we get out of here?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, folks, we'll be back tomorrow. Hold on, let's see. We'll see you then.
Okay.
Wait a minute, hang on. Let's see.